Good morning, and welcome again to the podcast on March the 9th, 2021. You know that my name is Joanne, and I'm glad to be here with you for a little while today. I want to encourage you to share the podcast with people that you know would be blessed as a result of hearing the Word of God and the message that is here. Also want to encourage you to go back over some of the other podcasts in the list, those that you haven't listened to. God is just really faithful to bring word after word after word, day after day after day to help his people in some of the things that we're going through. Okay. I've never experienced anything quite like this, where the Lord is just so faithful to continually pour out day after day after day, just that daily bread that we need. And so he knows what his church needs, and he's going to continue to supply that. Well, I found out late last night that yesterday was National Women's Day. I don't know if that was in any other place other than the United States, but I didn't even know we had a National Women's Day. Do we need a National Women's Day? I don't know, but here's the neat thing. God seems to be hijacking it and calling it his, because this is the second day in a row that he's given me something about women. And so even if you're a man and you're listening, I really want to encourage you to listen to this as well, because it just applies to all of us, especially if we have females in our life, and to have the perspective that God wants us to have. Women are special. I mean, we give birth. We have babies. Think about this. God has designed women to give birth to new life and to new things, both in the physical as well as in the spiritual. And so that's kind of the direction that this is going in. And God loves the way he made women. I mean, they represent the image of God. If you look back in Genesis 1, where it says that he created man in his own image, in his image, he created them, male and female. So even women, as we give birth in the natural, we are representing the image of God, which is beautiful. We conceive the seed, we carry it in our womb, and then we push it through. We birth it, and a new life comes forth. If you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20, I don't have that pulled up right now. Give me one split second here. It's talking about the things that are created revealing God in Romans 1:20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." So you look at any part of God's creation, and it's going to reveal the Creator. And this whole process of giving birth, this is what God does. He creates new life. New things come from God. So let's go back to the Genesis. Well, first let's go to the Word. I was standing in my kitchen last night, and the Lord spoke something to me about women and about Eve in the Garden of Eden. So we're going to go over to the area of Genesis 3 and 1. Satan didn't attack Eve because she was weaker. I think that's been kind of the idea for women in church for a long time, is that women were somehow beneath in character or in ability, and she was the weaker. Therefore, you know, Satan attacked weakness, but actually Satan attacked her because she had a womb. Okay, the enemy knows something here, and I think it's valuable for us to get a grasp on this as well. That if you understand why Satan attacks, you'll understand what he's after. Okay, and what he's after is the child in the womb. I mean, this is manifesting all over the United States. I mean, women, we carry something. We conceive seed and then we're able to carry it. And we have examples in the Bible of how the enemy wanted to destroy life before it could ever come into birth. Read the Old Testament this way. If you understand that the enemy was trying to corrupt the bloodline so that Messiah couldn't come into the world. And we see that Pharaoh, you know, wanting to kill the babies in Egypt. We want to see Herod trying to kill the babies to get rid of the Messiah. That was Satan. Okay. Satan doesn't want the new life, the new creation, because we represent the image of God. And anytime something new is birthed or born, it just prophesies the resurrection life of God. Okay. So anyway, as I'm standing there in my kitchen, I just had to, you know, write it down. You know, women give birth. We bring forth the image of God. And so this is a high honor. I mean, this is valuable, not only to physical life, but to the kingdom of God. Women are able to give birth to things in the spirit. So thank you for that, Lord. We can birth new things. See what Genesis 1 says. You know, I'm kind of typing these in. I use Bible Gateway, by the way. All right. God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So man and woman were blessed and they were commissioned. Okay, they received their assignment to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue it, and have dominion over it. Okay, take over is basically what he's saying. I put you in the garden, but now I want you two to co-labor together and go subdue the earth and take authority, take dominion over the earth, have dominion over it. So from the very beginning, women were designed to stand alongside men, men standing alongside women, and both of them working together to do the God things that he wanted. And we know what happened. Satan came to attack Eve. And she was deceived. And it brought forth devastation into God's plan. I find in Genesis 3, when God is talking about the curse, he curses the serpent and he curses the earth. But he doesn't curse the man and the woman. Okay? He does say to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. This was the result of sin, but it was never the original intention of God. Okay? This was not the original plan that God had for men and women. And then also, you know, to the men, the curse that it brought on work and the difficulty that was going to follow, you know, that was never God's original design. Here's the thing we have to understand about Jesus, though, is that when he was nailed to the cross, he became sin. And the curse of sin was nailed to the cross as well. God restored the original design through Jesus Christ. And sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes we haven't yet seen the full manifestation of that in our life. But as far as God is concerned, the original design is restored that he displayed. Otherwise, Jesus didn't do a complete job, okay? And I believe he did. You know he did, okay? If Jesus undid all the effects of sin when he died on the cross, you know, if his blood completely atoned for sin, why would it not cover some of these issues, you know, between the men and the women? Honor and respect, value for each other is really important. And I felt like today, you know, I needed to honor some of the men who have opened doors for me in the kingdom of God. First of all, my husband, John, he has supported me. He has provided for me, and he has co-labored alongside with me in many of the things that God has given me to do. And I just want to honor him and communicate that value and that respect that he deserves. I want to talk about Brian Fuller. You know, two times he has pulled me into radio ministry, opened spiritual doors for me, as well as Randy Olson in the radio ministry. I want to honor John Henniger, you know, for a season of my life. Oh my gosh, he opened the door for my life to be healed when it was really, really broken, and opened doors of ministry for me. He just kind of got the momentum going back in my life. I want to remember Kent Jackson, Daniel Nally, you know, opening the door for writing books and everything that God has done in my life through that. Josh Atkins also recently opened a door of ministry for me that was just a good turning point for me, you know. And so, I mean, men open doors for women, okay? And they walk through in the kingdom and they give birth. And as a result, spiritual children are born and raised. So, I mean, men, anytime you can open a door for a woman, God's going to use them in a powerful way. Spiritual children are going to come forth. Okay. So it's just all this picture in the Word of God of what men and women are able to do together. It doesn't mean men can't give birth to things in the Spirit. That doesn't mean that men can't be creative. It just means that we both work together. Okay. So, ladies, how does God see you? I mentioned yesterday the ministry time that we had at church on Saturday night, where we all just got to see some chains broken off people as we prayed and ministered to certain women. And we got all done. And one young sister spoke a word that was just, oh, it just shows how Jesus feels about women and what his work on the cross has completely accomplished. She said, when Jesus makes something new, he makes one whole new piece. It's not like a mosaic of a bunch of broken pieces put together. And she addressed this misconception sometimes that we as women have, is that we come to God with our broken pieces and he puts us all together, where actually the new birth is a whole new creation. It's all one whole piece. If you look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it's talking about the new man that we have put on in Christ Jesus. It says that we're renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So, I mean, we've been renewed. We have been regenerated, recreated after the image of Jesus Christ. And do we believe that Jesus is a bunch of broken pieces put together? No. He's God. I mean, he is whole. And he says, we've been recreated after his image. And I really believe this thing on image is a big deal with God, for us to get this in our head and in our spirit that we represent the image of God. And we've been recreated in his image. Even women. Amen. So Jesus is not fragmented, and he doesn't see us as being fragmented either. He sees us as the new creation. So we are going to roll over to Genesis 38. You know, the women in the Bible, just fabulous. You know, they're not less. They're not weaker. I believe they were brilliant. And this story of Judah and Tamar, can't say it's my favorite one, but boy, the Lord really gave me some insight on what was going on here. I want to say this is better than any soap opera you can find on TV, anything on the internet. Because if you read Genesis 38, you look at this and you go, wow, what in the world is happening in this story? It seems like it is just so bizarre. But let's do the backstory a little bit, because Judah was the son of Jacob, representing the tribe of Israel through which Messiah would come. And I read the Old Testament this way, just remembering that God is going to get a Messiah. The Son of God is going to come into the world through this nation, through this tribe, through this lineage, and he is going to redeem mankind. He is going to get the Savior of the world born into the world. And by golly, it's going to happen, and God will do anything to make it happen, and he will oppose anything that opposes his plan. And this, we see it in this story of Judah and Tamar. Because Judah knew. He knew the prophecy that was over him. And I, you know, I read the Old Testament that way too. I don't believe these people were clueless and God just somehow used their mistakes. No, I believe people understood and they knew what happened in the garden. They understood what was prophesied and everything that this nation had been through and what they were chosen to do. They weren't clueless. They were just stubborn. Okay. So Judah, he has three sons. And he takes a wife for his first son, and her name was Tamar. But it says, Genesis 38:7, but Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. Wow, God. Okay. So lineage to Messiah was not going to come through that man or that first son. And so in their culture, okay, what they did was if the man died, his wife would then be given to the next brother. And that was exactly what happened. So Judah said to his second son, you go in to your brother's wife and marry her and raise up an heir to your brother. And Onan went in, but he would not allow her to conceive seed. And it displeased the Lord. And says the Lord killed him too. All right, so you read this, and if you don't understand the backstory and what God is trying to do, you think that God is just angry, wrathful, and evil. But the Lord is basically saying, when it comes down to me getting a Savior into the world to save people, and anyone who opposes that plan better get out of the way, then you understand the passion of God and what he's willing to do to save you and me. Okay? So anything that opposes God, it's going to get out of the way, because God's going to have his way. Getting Jesus into the world. So here's Judah. He's lost two sons with Tamar, and he has a third son. He's like, I ain't giving her my third son. Okay. He sends her home, back to her homeland. And it didn't displease God, because even though this seemed really harsh of God, it did not remove Judah from his responsibility to propagate the lineage to Messiah. And so, in the process of time, Judah's wife died, and he still has this third son. And Tamar, she realizes what's happened, that she is not going to be given the third son, and she does not want to be a widow the rest of her life. So she gets a plan. She gets a clue. And she takes off her widow's garments. This is in verse 14. She covers herself with a veil, wraps herself and sits in an open place as a harlot. Okay. She plays like she is a whore. And pretty soon here comes Judah, and he sees the harlot, and he cannot resist. He goes into her, but he does not realize it's his daughter-in-law. And what happens? She conceives. She conceives the seed, the lineage to Messiah. And you know, I really believe that Tamar realized that she was chosen to. That she realizes she was chosen to be part of that lineage to Messiah. And she realized that she had a devil blocking her way through that door. So she was brilliant. She thought, okay, I'll just go to the source. If I cannot have the third son to be part of this plan, I'll just go up a level. I'll just go up a level and I can conceive through Judah. And that's exactly what happened. Now, she ends up talking Judah out of a couple of his possessions. And that way, when he comes to pay her, she'll give him back these possessions, but she wasn't going to do it because she realized now I am pregnant without being married. And so she had to be able to reveal the father of the son. And when the time came, she reveals with those two possessions that Judah is the father of her baby. Okay? And the line to Messiah continues. So, ladies, we were made to give birth, not only in the physical, but also in the spiritual. Give birth to the things of God. And sometimes the doors are open to us through men. Sometimes Jesus himself will come along and give us exactly what we need to bring forth birth. We're supposed to labor alongside men, not come up above them, but to honor them, to value them, and to respect them along the way. Men, you are meant to open doors for women. And if your lady is ready to have a baby, then take your responsibility and do your job. Let her bring that forth, because spiritual children are going to be born through her. That's what God is up to. So, as I said, this is quite a word. If you realize that you are carrying something of God, you have to be wise about your enemy. Outsmart him, okay? Even if it means you have to go up a level in God to get what is needed. Ladies, you're a warrior. You know how to battle with God, and you know how to bring things to birth, okay? So God bless you. May you all be fertile in one way or the other, spiritually, physically. The Lord bless the fruit of your womb, okay? Your spiritual womb, your natural womb. You bring forth, you push it through. You bring forth the thing that God has for you. In the name of Jesus, until next time.